Well, when a University of Kansas professor used Twitter to make an anti-gun comment last fall, he triggered a controversy that is still playing out today. Following that tweet, the Kansas Board of Regents implemented a broad social media policy, but that approach is now as controversial as the passionate comment it created. KCUR's Peggy Lowe reports that faculty and staff are condemning the new policy, even as some are changing their spring curriculum to follow it.
The reaction to the region's decision came quickly and played out, not so ironically, on social media.
Okay, here we go. This is right when it came out.
KU political science professor Burdett Loomis scrolls back on his Facebook page to find his reaction from December 19th. He had just heard that the region's plan to prohibit professors and staff from saying anything on social media that is, quote, contrary to the best interests of the university.
Unbelievably broad and vague set of policies. Perfect example of using a nuclear weapon to destroy a gnat of a pseudo-problem.
The new policy was a reaction to a tweet by David Guth, an associate journalism professor. Angry after a lone gunman killed 12 people in a mass shooting at the Washington Navy Yard in September, Guth wrote, "The blood is on the hands of the NRA. Next time, let it be your sons and daughters."
Well, I was outraged, actually. That's
Representative Travis Kocher Lovelady, a member of the Kansas House and an NRA member. He says that while Guth's comment angered him at the time, he knows it was done in the heat of the moment. That's why Kocher Lovelady supports the Board of Regents' new policy. He says it will put parameters on professors.
With a clear guidelines coming down from the top that says, look, you have freedom of speech, but you can't go this far. So I think having a clear understanding between faculty and the Board of Regents on what's acceptable and what's not is better for everyone involved.
Part of the new policy is understandable. It says faculty and staff may not say anything on social media that would incite violence, disclose confidential student information, or release protected data. But critics say the broad nature of the guidelines would offer administrators enormous latitude in firing people, even those with tenure. Fred Logan, chair of the Board of Regents, turned down a request for comment. He says it's old news. But last week, the board, in a bit of a backslide, named a working group to review the policy, with a decision expected in April. Loomis, the poli-sci prof, says the regents are scared of Kansas lawmakers who hold the university's purse strings.
All of this has to be taken into account in the context of a very, very conservative Kansas legislature that has very little sympathy, I think, for higher education.
As the second semester starts here on the KU campus in Lawrence this week, students may already see changes. Some professors say they will no longer share their lectures on YouTube or their notes on Facebook. They fear if a topic is controversial, they could face the loss of their job under the new policy.
I've gotten a lot of emails and phone calls and hallway discussions with people who use the latest technology, as I do, to communicate with students.
Ron Barrett-Gonzalez, a KU Associate Professor of Aerospace Engineering, is head of the local conference of American Association of University Professors, just one of several national groups who have denounced the policy. He says professors are changing what they plan on teaching this semester.
I use Facebook. I use YouTube. I post my lectures on YouTube. It's very, very worrisome. And they are taking out controversial topics.
Barrett Gonzalez and others are also worried that the policy will deter KU from hiring the best faculty. Meanwhile, the professor who triggered the policy, David Guth, is out on a semester-long sabbatical in western Kansas. But he's still talking. His blog says, how can a guy talk to students about social media if he doesn't participate in the online discussion? Peggy Lowe, KCUR News.
So the question on the table now, should university faculty and staff in Kansas be subject to this new policy? Should they be fired for making comments on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, or elsewhere that make their universities look bad? Give us a call, 816-235-2888. Again, 816-235-2888. Or you can email us at uptodate@kcur.org. Or perhaps more appropriately, you can tweet us at KCUR Up to Date with your opinions on all this. And joining me now for some added perspective is Ron Barrett Gonzalez. He was the professor who was just in Peggy Lowe's piece, the associate professor at KU who leads the state's Conference of American Association of University Professors. And Ron, so good to have you. Welcome here.
No, I appreciate the invite. It's a great topic to talk about, and it's a good learning moment in many respects for the general public and of course a lot of decision makers.
Well, Ron, you alluded to it in Peggy Lowe's piece, but just how widespread is the concern about this new policy among your colleagues over at KU?
Well, it's I was when I first became aware of it, my email box lit up from basically one night to the other, and I was driving across country. My daughter was looking at schools to go to. And I stopped and I couldn't read all of the messages that were piling up. And they said, "What do you think about this? What do you think about that?" And the concern is essentially overwhelming because a lot of colleagues are accustomed to having freedom of speech and academic freedom. We talk about all kinds of things in class and out of class, and they're critical for our students to understand. And now there is an entity that sits far above us that has the ability to fire us, and they are saying to us, no, you don't have that freedom.
Do professors really think they're going to be fired if they say something even mildly controversial? Is it – how deep is the concern, I guess, is what I'm wondering.
Well, it's the game of what-ifs in many respects. So
– you don't know.
Yeah, we just don't know. So if you take a look around the state, there's a non-trivial history of administrators, and a lot of them are inexperienced administrators who will take matters in their own hands and they will push a decision down one way or another. We had it happen a couple of years ago with the Romkes decision, et cetera. And they may not have a lot of experience in this area, but they cause great harm. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the more experienced administrators, they say, no, this is a tempest in a teapot. We're not going to do that. But the great danger is in these few numbers of relatively inexperienced administrators or somebody that gets a bee in their bonnet or pressure from above that says that somebody said something we really don't like. You need to reassign that person. You need to fire that person. You need to do something bad with that person. So I could give you an example, my discipline. So I work in aerospace engineering. We graduate fantastic young students, and they win all kinds of international awards, and they were just paraded in front of the Board of Regents a couple months ago. But I instruct my students on the good, the bad, and the ugly of the aerospace industry, and this includes scandal. It includes fatal air crashes, some that are done by the aircraft manufacturers of the state because they didn't watch things. They were not diligent.
But none of that puts the university in a bad light that you're telling your students that, Ron. But in your point is what?
Well, the point is that let's say I criticize a manufacturer in Wichita, which did something that was not good, maybe cost a life. That is the state's largest manufacturing industry, and they can always come back and put pressure on the legislature, Board of Regents, and eventually say, hey, that Barrett guy is talking out of tune.
Yeah.
Let's fire him. We don't like that kind of stuff.
You know, Ron, obviously David Guth was reprimanded for the comments he made that triggered all of this. Have you heard of anybody else on staff, on the faculty at KU, who has been fired or released outright as a result of this policy?
No. It's still to put a policy in place, basically it has to matriculate and flow down to all of the universities. So,
yeah.
So for instance, there's a State of Kansas Higher Educational Policy Convention coming up on the 8th of February
right.
in Emporia. And we're going to give advice to the administrations and the Kansas Board of Regents and the individual faculty members and legislatures as to how to handle this so that each layer will be able to appropriately resist what is clearly a violation of academic freedom.
I want to just mention some breaking news this hour. There are numerous reports of a shooting at the University of Oklahoma campus this morning. We'll have more on this developing story hopefully at noon today on NPR News at the top of the hour. In the meantime, I want to bring a couple of other voices into our conversation. With me now is Burdette Loomis, a frequent guest on this program and the KU political scientist and reporter Peggy Lowe's story. Bird, good morning to you.
Hey, Steve.
Also with us, Kansas State Senator Greg Smith. He's a Republican from Overland Park who was one of the few who called for KU to fire David Guth back in September. And Senator Smith, thanks for taking time with us today as well.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Well, Senator, you backed this policy change by the Board of Regents. Tell us why.
Well, I don't know that I necessarily backed it. All I asked for was that something be done about a certain professor's behavior.
Okay.
What the regents decided to do and the policy that they decided to enact had nothing to do with me, and I had no input on it at all.
What do you make of the policy, Greg?
Reading through it, I don't see any cause for concern.
Bird, respond to that, if you would.
Yeah. First of all, let me say that I've been here 35 years. For about 30 years, I've either done NPR commentaries, written editorials, op-eds, or been quoted in the press. And I'm sure that I've ticked off the university administration and maybe the read over that time. I've never heard one thing. I've never had an ounce of pressure on me. And indeed, that's part of our job these days, is to engage the public. So what I see is, on the one hand, we're being asked to engage the public. We're being asked to do stuff on YouTube or communicate with a broad public. And then at the same time, the regents say, but if you do something that's not in the interest of the university, unbelievably broad, you could be fired. I'm not worried about that, honestly. And I don't think most faculty members, for the most part, are. I'll tell you who could easily be more impacted here would be adjuncts. Mm. And we use more and more and more adjuncts. They have very few rights. So I think part of tenure does protect this. And if you wanted to fire Professor Guth, try to fire him, you would make him a very rich man, I think, without any question.
We have a note here from the Kansas Board of Regents, their communications spokesperson. The Kansas Board of Regents, he wrote, would not be firing anybody. What your guest has just said should be corrected. Current discipline processes are the same as they were before this policy was implemented. It only provides guidance to university administration and outlines existing law, Ron.
Right. So, again, that's part of the matriculation process. Such policies will have to flow down to the university administrations and governance structures, and they'll wind up in faculty senate rules and regulations. So this is basically the first step. Inkling. Yeah, the first step on this.
Senator Smith, I'm wondering to what extent that this new policy, if it's really aimed at keeping lawmakers off the back of higher education this year and not following through with threats to cut funding in the wake of David Guth's tweets, because that was talked about last year when this controversy first erupted. What about that, Senator Smith?
You're asking me for what the regents think?
Well, I'm just wondering what lawmakers might be thinking. Is this new policy aimed at pacifying lawmakers to stay off the back of higher education in Kansas?
Well, as I said before, I don't know of anybody in the regents that contacted anybody in the legislature and said, hey, there's what we've done. Are you guys happy? Does this make things better or, you know, heal a wound or whatever? Because quite frankly, what the regents do is what the regents do. That's what they are. They're a constitutional body that has the ability to do this.
Are you guys as likely as the talk seemed to suggest last year to cut the funding of higher education institutions in Kansas in the wake of this new policy? Or are you taking a wait and see attitude now, Greg, to see how it plays out?
Well, I don't know that there was ever a call to for a across-the-board cut for higher education funding.
There was a call for some lawmakers were talking about cutting the funding over at KU.
That statement I have heard, yes.
Okay,
is that going to happen? I have no idea. I don't know of anybody that has proposed that, including me. So,
and I guess what I'm wondering, Senator, is this policy that the regents have trotted out, do you think it was aimed at pacifying lawmakers and getting them to back off the idea of cutting appropriations for the University of Kansas?
You need to ask the regents that. I don't have any idea.
What's your political sense tell you?
I don't make guesses on things like that.
Burdette Loomis, what do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I think that higher education generally is under pressure. I think obviously the regents make a deal on funding. You have some political people in the among the regents certainly a couple of former legislators, a former county chairman, Hogan. Maybe they think politically, maybe not. I'm pretty much with Senator Smith. I'm probably not going to second guess the motivations of regents. What's really remarkable to me is that this policy was handed down with no consultation at all. With universities, faculty, or administrators. And that, to me, is just highly problematic.
You know, Ron Barrett, the Board of Regents has since formed a committee, as Peggy Lowe reported, to take a look at this new policy and to review it. What are your thoughts on what you think might be coming down the road here?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I had a nice long talk with Charlie Epp just 2 days ago about this. So he's one of the co-chairs of the committee.
Yeah.
And I described to him there are five major problems with the current policy. And the first is in recruiting. We've got a problem with that, retention of faculty members. Because a lot of faculty members have put their resumes out on the streets, including distinguished profs.
Because of this policy.
Because of this policy. Curricular changes that are coming. There's threatened accreditation, so it flies in the face of accrediting statements. And then finally, it'll hurt our national rankings. And worst of all, it hurts the students and the alumni.
I'm going to have to leave our conversation there. I want to thank Ron Barrett, Burdette Loomis, and Kansas State Senator Greg Smith. Thank you all for taking some time today. I sure appreciate it.